Engine failure prompts action.
The FAA will order inspections.
President optimistic about North Korea summit.
It's a historic moment and possibly beyond that.
Is Prince's death a criminal case?
Investigators have been focusing on doctors and Prince's inner circle.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Home Advisor.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. Federal regulators are calling for new inspections on fan blades like the one that ripped off an engine on the Southwest Airlines jet that made an emergency landing Tuesday in Philadelphia. Transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
The FAA order calls for ultrasonic inspections. That's basically using, you know, like an ultrasound type device to get in and really see if there are any microscopic cracks inside these metal fan blades, things that you wouldn't necessarily be able to see with the human eye.
When the engine blew at 32,000 feet, it touched off 22 minutes of fear and uncertainty for the 149 on board. It was up to the two pilots, Darren Ellisor and Tammy Jo Schultz, to get the plane safely to the ground. Linda Maloney is a friend of Schultz, who was one of the first female fighter pilots in the Navy.
Tammy Jo was the heroine for that airplane. Those people, they call her a hero. And thank God, I really believe that, you know, just God had his hand on her. He had her in that place, and she was there for a reason.
The two pilots said in a statement they appreciate the outpouring, but their hearts are heavy over the death of a woman on board. There was trouble on a Delta flight from Atlanta to London. Smoke started pouring out of one of the engines right after takeoff.
Atlanta, Delta, 30 heavy. It's clearing emergency. We have an engine fire on number 2.
That audio from Live ATC. The plane landed safely in Atlanta. Emergency crews put out the fire. 288 on board. Nobody hurt. President Trump indicates he's looking forward to meeting with North Korea's leader. But White House correspondent Major Garrett says there's still plenty to iron out and an awareness that hopes could fizzle.
President Trump said the anticipated summit with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un might not happen or resolve differences.
If I think that it's a meeting that is not going to be fruitful, we're not going to go. If the meeting when I'm there is not fruitful, I will respectfully leave the meeting.
Summit planning continues, and possible locations include the Peace Village inside the Korean Demilitarized Zone, a U.S. naval ship off the Korean coast, or neutral locations ranging from Mongolia to Sweden.
Well, correspondent Stephen Portnoy tells us there have been fresh comments from Mr. Trump about the Russia investigation.
The president was asked if it's worth the political risk to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller or the man who hired him, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. His answer offered a window into his thinking.
They've been saying, I'm going to get rid of them for the last 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, and they're still here.
Mr. Trump did say he wants the investigation over with. He ignored questions about whether he still intends to speak with the special counsel. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News with the president in Palm Beach.
The ex-Playboy model, who alleges a 10-month affair with Mr. Trump, has settled her lawsuit with the owner of the National Enquirer. The agreement will allow Karen McDougal to talk publicly about the relationship. She was paid $150,000 for the rights to the story that never ran in the publication. Prosecutors in Minnesota plan to say today whether anyone will face charges in connection with Prince's overdose death nearly 2 years ago. CBS's Jamie Yukis is at the singer's estate outside Minneapolis.
The name listed on several bottles, investigators say, was Kirk Johnson, the singer's longtime confidant and bodyguard. Court documents say a Minnesota physician, Dr. Michael Schulenberg, put Prince on the opioid oxycodone a week before his death. To protect the singer's privacy, the prescription was written in Johnson's name. Prince overdosed on a different opioid painkiller, fentanyl. Investigators have also been looking into prominent California addiction specialist Dr. Howard Kornfeld and his son Andrew, who called 911 after Prince's body was found.
For the first time in 6 decades, the leader of Cuba is not named Castro. Miguel Diaz-Canel is Raul Castro's handpicked successor, approved by lawmakers yesterday. Work's going on in Puerto Rico to restore power after a major transmission line was cut accidentally. The entire island's been affected. It's the latest setback in the effort to restore full power since last year's hurricane. Scientists say something that happened 2 years ago has altered Australia's Great Barrier Reef forever. Live to CBS's Peter King.
Steve, it was an underwater heat wave known as a bleaching event. It was so severe that scientists say the reef will never look the same. Terry B. Hughes is a coral reef expert and the lead author of a study for James Cook University in Queensland.
On average, across the entire length of the Great Barrier Reef, we found that one in three corals died from the 2016 bleaching event.
Hughes says there was another last year, four in the last 20 years, all a result of human-induced climate change. He says the reef isn't dying, but it is losing its most sensitive coral. Steve?
After a week of verbal jousting between President Trump and Jerry Brown, California's governors reached a deal to send 400 state National Guard troops to the Mexican border. They'll deal with gangs, drugs, and gun smugglers. Former President George W. Bush says his mother Barbara was joyful and still teasing him right up to her death. He told an audience at his presidential library in Dallas.
The day before she died, I said, "Mom, I just want you to know you've been a fabulous mother and I love you dearly." And she said, "I want you to know that you're my favorite son on the phone."
He says he's at peace with her death because she was at peace. Barbara Bush's funeral is set for Saturday. A cleanup's underway in Hawaii after major flooding on Kauai. Ron Rector's home is one of many that suffered damage.
It was amazing. I mean, the energy of that water flowing by was just beyond what I could even think about.
Hawaii lawmakers have voted to spend $125 million on the recovery. Forget the calendar. Parts of Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and northern New England are in for snow today. Much of the upper Midwest got a few inches yesterday on top of the deep snow that fell last week. Shannon Schwartz lives in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
I should be outside, like, doing yard work, not shoveling snow off my car.
High temps will head into the 50s there this weekend. When you call for help, you want someone to listen, not hang up. CBS's Jim Shenevy has a story from Texas.
A former 911 emergency line operator in Houston was found guilty of hanging up on people. 44-year-old Crenshonda Williams was convicted of interference with emergency telephone calls. She was sentenced to 10 days in jail and 18 months probation. Recordings showed that over the year and a half that Williams was a 911 operator, thousands of calls were terminated after less than 20 seconds. She told investigators she often hung up because she didn't want to talk to anyone at the time. Jim Shenevy, CBS News.
Well, the police in Monroe, Louisiana, got a call when a woman came home to discover a woman she didn't know naked in her bathtub eating a plate full of Cheetos. The 29-year-old suspect says a man had told her to break into the home. Police say she stood on top of an ice chest to break a window to get in. And that's the World News Roundup for Thursday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.